आईपैड जो है ना उसको म्यूट करना।
भवतु
सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै
विनावदीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम्। अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति
यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। If you go to the chat feature, you can see the points that I'm covering on the right side. If it helps you to follow, fine. If not, it helps me to keep track of my thoughts and the ideas. So, we in the ninth chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is giving us the royal secret. Now, whenever we hear the word royal or we hear the word kingly, we get very impressed. I want to know what it is, like Royal Caribbean cruise lines. So then we think that must be something special, or king size bed. So that always royal suggests something higher, something better. So Bhagavan does not call this chapter, these names were given by Madhusudan Saraswati ji, but this chapter is called Royal Secret, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. So Bhagavan says that in this chapter, I will now take you a little higher. So far we have been hearing Bhagavad Gita, mostly talking about who I am and who God is. But what is the Upanishadic explanation of my relationship with God, which is given in the Upanishads, which is not easy for most of us to understand, and that's why we need a teacher like Pujya Gurudev who can interpret this knowledge for us. So he says, I will tell you that which is a royal secret. When they mean secret, it does not mean that it should not be told to people. What it means is that this will remain a secret. Even though this knowledge was available, we needed a guru like Swami Chinmayananda or Swami Vivekananda or somebody like that who could explain it to us and make it easy for us to understand in English, translate from Sanskrit into English and into our language. And then this knowledge, Bhagavan gives an introduction, it is knowledge along with practice. I'm not only going to give you what this knowledge is, but how you can practice it so that you may be freed from evil. You may be free from negative tendencies, from papa, all those things you should be free from. And why? Because this knowledge is the supreme purifier. It will not only purify your mind, your intellect, your thoughts, and even your ego, the soul, the self. Everything will, you will connect with the pure self within. So that is why it is said to be a purifier, pavitram uttamam. But it is not something esoteric that you have to go to the forest and meditate for 14 years before you can know it. You can understand it right here in your bedroom and you can bring it into the practice. Also, this knowledge is avyayam. It is unchanging. It has been the same for thousands of years when the Upanishads were written and will continue as long as people are available to study this knowledge. And then in the third verse, Bhagwan says that if you have to study this knowledge with faith, that it is the Lord Himself who is revealing it. And if you don't do that, and if you think, okay, it's somebody speaking to somebody 8,000 years ago, how is it going to be relevant to me? Then this knowledge will not benefit, which is obvious. If you go to school or a college and you have no faith in the teachings of the teacher, or no faith in the textbook, or no faith in the science itself, then you will not learn. So that's why he says, if you have faith, you will learn, you will benefit. If you do not have faith, then what will happen? Aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Then you will continue to go through this cycle of birth and death without getting me. By me, he means without reaching this supreme consciousness, you will continue to go through the cycle of birth and death. So that's what so far he has told us, the glory of this knowledge, why we should study this knowledge, and how this knowledge will benefit us. In this Vedantic teaching, it is called Sadhan Chatushtaya. That means, what is this knowledge that I'm going to reveal to you? Who is the appropriate student? In this case, Arjuna, who was who did not complain, Anasuya Ve, who did not find fault. And what is the connection? This knowledge will connect you with your higher self. And what is the benefit of this knowledge? Moksha se ashubhat. So all that has been covered, why we should study this knowledge and how it will help us. So now, today, today's verses number 4 and 5 are, the best I can say, is difficult to understand. Even for me to prepare and to study this, it took me a while. And I had first heard this about more than 20 years ago when Swami Prakashananda ji came and talked about the 9th chapter. And he said, they are in me and I am in them. And tell you the truth, I also found it very difficult. But I'll try my best with examples to explain this knowledge, and also by repeated listening, this knowledge, these ideas will be repeated throughout the 9th chapter, also in 10th, 11th, 13th, 12th, everywhere these same ideas Bhagwan will repeat. So today we'll do chapter number 9, verse 4. Girija can please chant verse number 4. Maya tatamidam sarvam. Jagadavyaktamurtina Matsthani Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshvavasthitaha Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavasthitah. Naina, you can please mute your computer. So Bhagwan says, maya, by me, tatam means pervaded, idam sarvam jagat. this whole jagat, this whole world that you are seeing, not only this jagat, but the entire universe, and also the multiple universes, the multiple 14 worlds, this entire jagat is pervaded by me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says. Who is this me? I will talk about. Avyakta Murtina, in my unmanifest form, it is pervaded, Sri Krishna says. By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. How is it pervaded? What is your relationship to this world, Bhagavan? So Bhagavan says, Matsthani Sarvabhutani. Sarvabhutani, all beings, not only humans, but animals, birds, fish, plants, all beings are in me. Matsthani, they are stationed in me, they are in me, they are established in me. Par na cha aham, and but I am not teshu avasthitaha, but I do not dwell in them. So what does this mean? He says, by me this whole world is pervaded. Okay, we understand that. And in my unmanifest form, okay, we understand that too. He says, all beings are in me. Okay, that also we understand. He says, all beings are in me, but na cha aham teshu avasthita, but I am not in them. All are in me, but I am not in them. So that is kind of a paradox, and that's how the spiritual knowledge is so subtle that sometimes the teacher uses paradox or symbolism to explain what he or she means, as we see in all the scriptures, whether it's in Buddha's, whether it's in Jainism, whether it's in Christianity, all the teachings are done through symbolism, through paradox. Also, it is meant to wake us up. Okay, what is this teacher saying? What exactly does he mean by this, that they are in me, but I am not in them? So when he says that it is, the world is pervaded by me in my subtle form. In my subtle form, what he is saying is that subtle pervades the gross. Subtle is more widespread than the gross. For example, there is a piece of ice. Now when the ice melts, it becomes water. Water is more pervasive, it spreads further than the ice. And then when the water becomes steam and evaporates, then the steam fills the whole room. So from ice to water to steam, it is more subtle. And the more subtle it is, the more pervasive it is, the more spread out it is. So when Bhagavan says that I am the subtlest of all, what he means is that I am the one that pervades the entire universe. And subtler than the subtlest, that is a word that is used in many places in the Upanishads. That means that even the atom or the subatomic particles that we know, it is subtler than that. It is more pervasive than that. As we said, the whole universe is made of atoms, but this one is even more pervasive. Now, who is this I that Bhagavan is talking? Arjuna will say, well, Bhagavan, I see you here, standing here. You know, you're 6 feet tall and you're occupying this much space, sitting on my chariot. But you say you pervade the entire universe, all the worlds, but I don't see you everywhere. So Bhagavan says that I have two natures. One is a transactional nature, and one is the pervasive nature or the transcendental nature, what we call as form and formless. So we all know the form, that okay, I love Lord Sri Krishna or Shiva or Jesus or Buddha, and that is the form that we worship. But the form has to take us to the formless. If we limit God, that this form alone is God and all other forms are not, this form alone will take us and all other forms will not. If you worship this form, you will go to heaven. If you don't worship this form, you will go to hell. Then what you are doing is you are limiting God in that particular form. So there is a very beautiful story of Ramakrishna Paramhans. As you all know, he was a great devotee of Mother Kali, and he would go every day to the temple, he would pray to her, and the mother goddess would appear to him, and she would talk to him, and he would talk to her normally, like you and I, like we are talking. That's how he was able to communicate with the mother goddess. That's how close he was. And any time he came, she would come and talk to him, be with him, and he all the time, day and night, was thinking about her. He used to meditate on her. He was so close to her, and he thought that this is the supreme, that I have, you know, this is the highest. And so one day there was a Vedantin philosopher, Totapuri, who came and he saw Ramakrishna Paramhans meditating. And so when Ramakrishna afterwards opened his eyes, so Totapuri said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm meditating on Mother Goddess. I just see her all the time. She fills my heart with love and so much joy. I'm so happy I have Mother Goddess with me." So Totapuri says, "You know what? I'll teach you how to meditate on the Advait, the Vedanta, the formless. I'll teach you that, Vedanta, the formless." So why should I learn that? He says, "No, meditate on formless. That's better." So he says, "Okay, can you tell me what it is to mean, what it means to meditate on formless?" Totapuri says, "Anytime the image of Mother Goddess comes in your mind, throw her out. Get her out of your mind. That's how you start." He said, "What? Mother Goddess? She's, I mean, that's my whole life." He said, "No, that's the only way." So he said, "Okay, let me ask Mother Goddess tomorrow." So next morning, after he does the puja, she appears. And he says, "Mother, there is this man named Totapuri who comes and he told me to meditate on the formless, all-pervasive. And he's telling me to throw you out of my mind, not to think about you when I meditate. Should I do that? Should I listen to him?" She says, "Yes, I sent him." Mother herself sent Totapuri because she understood that my devotee only thinks of me as the supreme. And he thinks of me in this temple, that when he comes to this temple, he sees me, but when he goes outside the temple, I am not there. I want him to grow to, so that where he will see me everywhere. So to see that one Mother Goddess, not only in the temple, not only in his prayer room, but if he can see her everywhere, in all trees, plants, birds, animals. So that was the teaching, and that's why Mother Goddess says, "My child, you need to grow beyond. Do not limit yourself to me in this form, but see me in all forms, see me everywhere." That is the essence of this ninth chapter, this teaching, and the entire Bhagavad Gita, where Bhagavan is telling us. And when he says me, when Sri Krishna says me, he does not only mean me as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but he is identifying himself with Brahman, with that total reality, which is the essence of all of us. That Brahman is also called as Atman. When we say that the Brahman projecting in each one of us is called Atman or the Self, and the Brahman through all the entire universe pervading is called Brahman. But there is only one. Atman and Brahman are the same. There is no difference. And Bhagavan in the second chapter tells Arjuna that you and I and these kings were always there, are there and always will be there. And what you are and what I am is na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya. He says, you and I and these kings have always been there. You are this eternal form, na jayate mriyate va, that is never born and that never dies. Arjuna says, what do you mean not never born? I was born that many years ago. My mother is Kunti and my father is Pandu, and he says, yeah, that is the body that you are occupying, had a birth and death, but the Atma, the consciousness that you really are, has no birth, is always there and will have no death. So yes, these kings will die, but that is the going to be the fate of every one of us. Whoever is born will die. There is no question about it. This body will perish. If not now, in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, but if I identify myself with this body, then I will perish. But if I identify myself with this Atman, the Supreme Consciousness, then I will never perish. And that is what this today's teachings will be. Who is this Atman? Who is this? There is also one little confusion I'd like to just clarify. Because when we use the word Atma, people always get confused. You know, like when somebody dies, they say, Bhagwan, uski atma ko shanti de, may his soul rest in peace. But the one, that atma that they talk about is the jivatma, the individual atma, which is the mind and intellect package, which at the time of death goes to heaven or hell and then continues the journey. So that atma is imperishable. That atma is the transactional entity, that is the jiva. But when in the Gita, when he talks about atma, he talks about the supreme consciousness, which is also called as Brahman. So there is no difference between atman and Brahman. Both are one and the same. So when Bhagwan says he pervades all, what it means is that the Lord not only pervades this earth, but this entire universe, which is trillions of miles, and it goes beyond that. It even here even pervades this Brahman, pervades all the 14 worlds. Not only pervades now, but in the past, present and future. They were always there. God was always there, is there and will be there. That's what even the Bible says God alone was. And then he created the world. And then when the deluge comes, you know, what we call as pralaya, when the world ends, then God alone will be, and then that's what they say, then the next world will be created. So God is pervading everybody at all times, and is form and formless. And it is said everywhere, even in Vishnu Sahasranama, those of you who chant that, there is a one word, Aprameya Rishikesha. So two words are given close to each other. Aprameya means that which cannot be known by the mind, by the intellect, cannot be thought of, cannot be contemplated upon. And then next word he says, Rishikesha, the one who has long hair, you know, Krishna who had beautiful long hair. So that same consciousness that is all pervading, that cannot be known, takes the form of Sri Krishna or takes the form of Ganesha or Jesus Christ or Buddha to manifest here to bless the entire universe. So this universe is pervaded by God. God is inside and outside. The example they give is clay and clay pot. I think we'll need to get some examples today to understand this concept. So now I take some clay, or a potter does, and makes a clay pot. Now, the clay pot is beautiful, it's blue, it's green, has golden lines on it, and it is a different shape. Well, while clay was formless, shapeless, it had just a brown color, but this pot is a beautiful pot, you know, Ming pot, very expensive Ming vase. Now, in that vase, are you able to see the mud, the clay? No, because it is all covered. It is covered by paint, it is covered by all these colors, but when you are touching that vase, what are you touching? Clay. When you are touching the pot, you are touching clay. When you are smelling the pot, you are smelling clay. When you are lifting the pot, the weight of the pot is the weight of the clay. So the clay pervades the entire pot. And actually, clay will say, there is no pot. It's me alone. Clay alone is appearing as this pot. So actually what they are saying is that clay alone is there. You may give it a name, you know, pot, or you may give it a name vase, or you may give it a name plate or saucer, or but actually it is the same clay appearing in all these various names and forms. So the clay will say, this pot is in me, but I am not in the pot. What do you mean you are not in the pot? The clay says, the pot is in me. That we understand. Okay, the pot is in clay. But clay says, when I am not in the pot, what it means is that when the pot breaks, I don't break. When the pot breaks, the clay remains the same. Whether it was clay, then it became a pot, and then it breaks and becomes clay again. So similarly, the Brahman, the consciousness, was there. This world appeared, and we all appeared. And then when we disappear, when this body disappears, the consciousness remains. Nothing happens to this consciousness, this Atman, the Self. So that God alone became this whole universe with name and form. Just as clay became all the pots and the vases and plates and the different names and forms are given, so similarly God alone is this whole universe. If we say God is somewhere else and then he created this world and then sent it out, then God is not everywhere. Then he's not all pervasive. If God is somewhere, you ask somebody, where is God? He says, oh, my God, he is in Vaikuntha because I worship Vishnu. Or my God is Shiva, he is in Kailash. Or my God is Brahmaji, he is in Brahmaloka. So then what you are saying is that, yes, God is somewhere in space, out there somewhere, but is not here. So what Lord is saying, I am everywhere. In fact, space is in me. I am not in space. Space is in me. So air, space, fire, water, earth, all these Pancha Mahabhutas, these five elements are in me. So another example they give is like wave and ocean, or water and wave. So water says, I am in all the waves. They are in me, but I am not in them. Just as Bhagwan says, all beings are in me, I am not in them. So what it means is that the water is there. Now in the water, a wave is created. And the wave lives for a while, for a few minutes, and then merges back into water. Now, does anything happen to water when the wave is born or the wave dies? No, the water remains the same. So water will say, wave is in me, but I am not in the wave. That means I am not affected by what is happening to the wave. If the wave is born, that is good. If the wave perishes, that is the destiny of every wave. A wave will be born, will live for a while, and then will perish. How does this help me? You know, you say, okay, I understood that there is a God who is permanent and then this world is temporary and it is an appearance. And in God, this whole universe appeared. And I understand that part and example you have given. I've understood the wave and ocean, that the waves are temporary, ocean is permanent. But how does this help me in my life? My life is, I have sorrow, I have problems. How is this going to help me remove problems? See, so far, people might say, you know, Sunday morning, subeh subeh, what is this, you know, this teaching suddenly Bhagwan has given the chapter. Up tak, so far, Bhagavad Gita was going very nice, you know. You should do good to others, you should do karma yoga, you should do bhakti, you should meditate on me, I am the what, essence, and it was very nice. Ab ye kahan se le aaye? Why did they bring this? What is the purpose? Bhagwan says, because you need to get out of high school and go to college. You know, a student will say, I love my high school. I love my teachers. I love my friends. I love my school. I don't want to go to college. You say, you are graduated. You already had your graduation online. Zoom graduation is already done. Now it's time for you to go to college, UCLA. He said, there also you will have a virtual school. There will be no college. It will be sitting home. But the point is that you cannot stay in school forever, right? You have to get out of high school and go to college. So similarly, throughout, this teaching cannot be at the basic level. Okay, you need to do good. You need to be a good person. You need to help. That is very good. But Bhagwan has already done that. And he wants all of us to grow up. He wants Arjuna to grow up. And he wants us to grow up. Because the essence of the Upanishads, which is the highest knowledge, is given in the Bhagavad Gita. And so the 9th chapter is taking us to a higher level. And we will see this also in the 13th chapter. To some extent in the 10th and 12th. But in the 13th, again, the highest knowledge will be given to us. So that we can see and we can grow to a higher level of understanding. And for somebody who has just started studying the Bhagavad Gita or has just started coming to these classes, it may seem intimidating, it may seem very difficult. For me also took me many years to understand this, and that is normal. But as we go through the Bhagavad Gita, these ideas will be repeated again and again. Again and again, the same thoughts will be coming, that there is this finite world and there is this infinite God or Brahman, and that is my higher nature. So I am not only this body, mind and intellect, but I am that highest Brahman, that highest consciousness who at this moment I am occupying this body, I am a male, my name is Anil, or I am a female, my name is Lata, I am in Bakersfield or Detroit or LA. So these are all my name and form, but my essence is the highest reality, that is the understanding. Because we want to remove sorrow. Now, you want to remove sorrow, like everybody wants to be happy and not be unhappy. Suppose I tell you, you are a wave or you are water, which will make you happy? Water or wave? If I say you are a wave, you're okay. But if I say you are water, will it make you happy or unhappy? Please raise your hand if you will be happy if you told you're water. Yes, because none of us wants to die. That's why all this, you know, all this science is progressing, and people will say, I'm not going to die anywhere. By year 2040, all my parts are going to be replaced. I'll have a new liver, new heart, new kidney, new legs, new joints, new... But how far can you, like a car, you keep replacing the parts, one part after another part after... Ultimately, the car will get old. You have to change the car and get a new car. And you have to understand, I am not the car. The car is my vehicle. So similarly, the body, you can only hold on to for so long. Once we get to 90 years or 95 and close to 100, then the life is not fun to live anymore, because all your joints ache, and then your memory is going, you are forgetting things, you are repeating. And at that time, you want to give up this body and get a new body, just as when your car is old, you give up the old car and get a brand new model, you know, new Tesla with all this, you know, which is does not need petrol. And so just as you are happy when you get a new car, so similarly, we have to be happy when we get a new body. And ultimately, the goal of life is to stop getting bodies and become one with that Brahman, stay in that. So if you want to remove sorrow, because a wave can never be totally happy. Gurudev one time in his commentary wrote it very beautifully. He said there was this wave, and he wrote his autobiography. Said, okay, what did he write? He said, the wave said, I was started out as a small wave, and then I grew and grew, and then I worked so hard, I swallowed all the other waves, and I became the greatest wave. There has never been a wave as great as me. And then when I was the most powerful wave and all the other waves looked up to me, then what happened? Oh, now I'm going down, help me, help me, help me, I'm going to end, I'm going... No matter how big the wave is, no matter how strong the wave is, it eventually has to merge back into the water. So same way, you and I, no matter how great we are, no matter how wonderful we are, no matter how powerful we are, we even may be enlightened masters, but this body has to be dropped. So when you have to drop this body, then you will be unhappy. Oh, you know, I have to leave this body. I have to leave all my relatives and my friends, and I have to leave my money, and I have to leave my house, and I have to leave my car, and I have to leave my cat. How will I live without my cat? I mean, everything is, you know, temporary. The cat is temporary. You are temporary. This house is temporary. Once you understand that this body is temporary, then whatever I have to leave, it's meant to be. Like suppose you are posted in a city for 3 years by your company, and the company says you are here for 3 years, then you'll be transferred back to Bangalore, to India. So in 3 years, you make a lot of friends, and your children start going to school, and they start making friends. But at the end of 3 years, the company says, sorry, your period is over. You need to go back to Bangalore. You cannot tell the company, no, I'm not going to go. If you don't go, then you lose your job. So you say, okay, for my job, I will go. And the children will say, Dad, you know, Mom, we have all these friends here. That's okay. You go to Bangalore and make new friends. So similarly, as long as you are in this body, it is a temporary. So the only way to be free of sorrow is to understand that I never die. That's what Krishna told Arjuna. Bhagavan told Arjuna that you don't perish. Your body will perish, and so will all these kings. And in the 11th chapter, he actually shows him the past, present, and future, which we will come to in a few months. So to understand that, is to go beyond this body, go beyond this world to that supreme state, which is the state of the enlightened masters. The enlightened masters know that they are that supreme. If you ask Swami Chinmayananda or Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda or all these, Swami Ishwaranandaji, they will tell you, they not only say it, but they know it. But you and me, at least intellectually, we can understand that I am not this body, mind and intellect, and I am that. That's why in Nirvan Shatkam, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. I am not this body. I am not Manobuddha Ahankar Chitta Ninaha. I am not this body. I am not the mind. I am not the intellect. But I am that Supreme Consciousness. Another point I wanted to clarify, which is a common mistake we say, and we say God is in this body. And there is nothing wrong with that. Yes, God is in this body. But if I say God is in this body, then what happens is I'm making God very small, right? Because the container has to be bigger than the contained, right? Like if I'm making rice in the pot, in the rice cooker, the cooker has to be more than the rice, right? If the rice is more than the cooker, it will fall out. So the rice has to be, so the container has to be bigger than the contained. So when we say God is in me, then what we are saying is that God is this small entity sitting somewhere deep in my heart. Yes, God is in me because God is everywhere. He's even in every atom. Kan kan me Bhagwan, they say. But God is not only in me, but he's also beyond. He's everything. That's why they say, Anora niyam ahameva tadvat mahanaham vishvaham vichitram. Bhagavan says in Kaivalya Upanishad, he says, I am subtler than the subtlest and bigger than the biggest. I am subtler than the atom, but I am bigger than space. The entire space is in me. All the 14 worlds are in me. So that is my relationship of this body to God, that God is in this body, but actually body is in God. That's what I have to understand, that I am always in God. Just as when I dive into the ocean, you say, I am surrounded by water, I am surrounded by the ocean. So similarly, I am surrounded by God. God is everywhere. God is inside, he's outside, everywhere. So God and God alone is. And this world is a creation, is a projection upon that. Just as mud alone is, all pots are created in mud. Now, who is bigger, the mud or the pots? The mud, right? Because all the pots in the entire universe, still there is mud extra left over. So all the pots still don't make up all the mud. So same way, all the human beings, all the animals, we are a small part of that total creation. So that is my understanding, that when God says they are in me, I am not in them, what it means is that all beings are in me, but whether beings are born or they perish, I remain unaffected. In me, everybody is born, in me, everybody is sustained, and in me, everybody perishes. Just as water will say, all waves are born in me, sustained by me, and perish into me, but I remain the same because I am the source, I am the support of this, all the waves. So this is the essence of this verse, that I pervade this whole universe. The whole universe is in me, but I am not in the universe. What it means is not that God is not in the universe, but God is not affected by what changes are happening. Just as water is not affected, whether a wave is born or dies, clay is not affected, whether the pot is made or pot is broken, clay remains the same. So that is the relationship between God and the world. So we say, this was very hard, very hard. Can you give us a little simpler shloka, please? We say, this was tough. Ye samajh nahi aa raha. Bhagwan says, simpler? Okay, I'll throw you one more curveball. In cricket, they call it bumper. One more bumper, which actually is harder. The next shloka is harder than this. So I'm getting you ready so that you can put on your thinking caps. So everybody can think. That's what we tell our grandkids. put on your thinking caps so that you can think. So these two verses need a lot of thinking. Not only thinking, but you can read them again. They are in the, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, this textbook, if you have Gurudev's commentary.